Okay, let's unpack this. Bright and fun buffalo, that is the motto of the group we're looking at today.
Right. And, if all you know about buffalo is blizzards and wings, that might sound a little optimistic.
Exactly, but we're looking at a really fascinating case study in community building here. It's the Japanese Group of Buffalo, or JGB.
It really is. I mean, what we have in front of us is basically a website, but it's acting as a digital doorway to a very real, very active community.
A mutual aid group, really.
Yeah, a mutual aid ecosystem. It's for Japanese nationals, Nikkei, and really anyone in Western New York who's interested in Japan.
And it's not tiny. They mentioned having over 80 member families as of late last year.
And that's a critical mass. That's when you shift from just being a small circle of friends to, a structured organization.
And their needs change. You can see it in how the support is laid out. It's not just casual advice anymore.
No, it's basically a survival guide for the immigrant experience in America.
The practicality of it is what really struck me. I mean, can you imagine moving from, say, Tokyo to Buffalo? The culture shock of just the DMV.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have guides for all of it. New York State driver's licenses, medical insurance, housing, all the really high friction stuff.
But here's the key thing. They don't just help you survive the bureaucracy. They actually curate the local lifestyle.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of expat groups can become these little bubbles, right?
Yeah.
Where people almost hide from the local culture. The JGB seems to do the opposite.
The beer brewery and pub guide.
Exactly. Get this, they have a pub guide.
That's the part that I found really interesting. It feels like a genuine push for integration. They're saying, here's how to enjoy Buffalo, not just here's how to get by.
It's a balance, though. You integrate with the pub guide, but you preserve your own identity through these subgroups.
Like the taiko drumming group, the JGB Shibuki.
Yep, and the chorus, a traditional dance group.
I saw the tomato bunko as well.
The library. Yes, that is so crucial, especially for families raising children. You need access to Japanese books if you want to ensure the next generation retains the language. It's a very deliberate act of cultural preservation.
And their calendar seems to reflect that same dual identity. Since we're recording this on, what, Saturday, January 17th, 2026, we can see what they're up to right now.
And they're active. They just had a lunch social a few days ago on the 14th.
At a Thai restaurant, interestingly enough.
Right, so that's the casual social side. But then you look ahead to next week, Saturday the 24th, and there's a knit cafe.
So you have these different layers of interaction. Lunch is maybe for networking, but knitting, that's where you form deeper social bonds.
Totally. And then the whole year is anchored by these big public-facing cultural events.
The Cherry Blossom Festival in April, and then Japan Culture Day in November.
Those are the moments where they're sort of ambassadors to the broader Buffalo community. But for the members themselves, I'd bet the most valuable event is the one-day consulate.
Oh, this is the feature that just seemed like a game changer to me.
It's huge. I mean, if you're a Japanese national, you usually have to go to the consulate in New York City for official business.
Yeah.
Passports, family registries.
That's a 7-hour drive or a flight. It's a whole ordeal.
So the JGB arranges for consulate staff to come to Buffalo twice a year.
Bringing the government to the people.
Exactly. It saves every family time, money, stress. It transforms the JGB from just a social club into an essential piece of civic infrastructure.
So it's bridging the gap between local American bureaucracy, like the DMV, and your home government.
That's the real takeaway here, I think. We see these groups and think, oh, that's nice, they have potlucks. But the JGB is a safety net, a cultural library, and a diplomatic liaison all rolled into one.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it, about what the immigrant experience looks like now in these mid-sized cities. I mean, does having a hyper-local organized hub like this just fundamentally change the game compared to trying to figure it all out alone?
It definitely suggests you don't need to be in a huge city like New York or LA to feel connected and supported. You just need someone to build the framework.
Someone to chew on.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thanks for listening.